and welcome to the next iteration of Behind the Beer WNC. My name's Patrick Pohl. I'm joined this week by Carson Jones and Mike Anderson. Lewis Anderson is on sabbatical, or he's on assignment. And this week we continue on with our coaches interviewing process. We have Coach Rodney Pruitt of the Irwin Warriors joining us today. And gentlemen, this is a podcast, obviously, for our entertainment. We hope you enjoy it, too. But if you don't, well, there's other options for you out there to listen to and tune in. But for now, Coach Pruitt, thanks for joining us today. Gentlemen, how have you been? It's been a little bit since we gathered.
Pat, you really jazzed up the intro music.
You know, I compiled that myself at home in my spare time, Mike.
Fantastic.
Not bad. We've not been together here, and it's been a, probably... So, 2 weeks
since we talked to Coach Ross.
We've had one world traveler, and it wasn't Pat Pohl.
No,
so everybody can know that.
I don't want to hear any more about any private planes and butlers when I've got international traveler Mike Anderson, and then Lewis is also on some sort of international.
Doesn't tan look good on Mike?
It does look good. Look at you, got a little sun.
Carson, listen. If Pat was a car, what kind of car would he be?
Oh, God.
An expensive one.
A Padillac.
I like it.
Agony.
I like it.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Coach, thanks for letting us come here and interview you, and I'm excited to learn more about you. We just talking right before we went on air, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know some of these things, so I'm excited.
Yeah, Coach, you from what you just shared with 24 years experience, you got a degree from App State in Communications. You went back and got an education degree at Western Carolina, and the rest has been history, as you put it. Obviously, there's a lot you've accomplished in that amount of time. I'll just open it up, share what your story is. I'd be curious to learn more about it.
Well, thanks for all of you being here and coming out. But yeah, my story. I grew up in an athletic family. I grew up on the ball field, in the gym, on the baseball field. My mother and father were coaches. And my dad was a three-sport coach. Back in those days, there were more multi-sport coaches. So my mom coached tennis. She coached soccer. She basketball. She did all softball. Dad was a defense coordinator. I'm a Cleveland County native. Mm-hmm. So I went to Burns High School in Cleveland County, and we all know football down there is a different animal. And but it was a great experience growing up, and they steered me away because of the financial, obviously, reasons. And you're not going to make a lot of money. But I found out after I left App, and I worked and I made good money, but there was a void. And found out money don't make happiness, like I said. And then I went back to Western. My brother earned a scholarship, played 4 years, actually five with a red shirt, and had some good years, played with Brad Hoover during that heyday at Western, and actually beat App State 1 year, and we tore down. So I was actually, ironically enough, stories. I was at App State when we tore down the goalpost when we beat Marshall. Chad Pennington, Randy Moss, all those guys. Eric Krause was a transfer quarterback from Florida. He was at Marshall at that time. So it was a night game. We didn't play many night games at App. Back then, it started raining as the sun went down. It turned to sleet, just a cold night. And I remember that night, and it was maybe 13-10. Marshall was nationally ranked top five in the country. App was good at the time. They hadn't turned the corner yet with Jerry Moore. 95 was their breakout year when I was there. 93 was actually a struggling year there. But 95 was a great year, and we tore down the goalpost. Fast forward many years later, and I believe it was 98 or 99 at Western, I was part of that, flip side of it, Western tearing down the goalpost. Well, obviously, my brother being on the team, and we tore down the goalpost when we beat App, who was nationally ranked. So little sidebar there, but it was a great experience growing up and being in that athletic family. I actually went to App to play baseball, gave it up. But I'm the only Pruitt in my family without a state championship ring. My two brothers both won state championships through football or baseball. Yeah. American Legion, World Series, Cherville. Yeah. They played Cherville Legion. Yeah. So, you know, that's big-time Carson with your baseball background.
That's big-time down there.
Yes.
They still, fun fact, Shelby still hosts the
– Yes, they do.
And that stadium down there is one. If if you're ever passing through, just stop in and look at it.
I believe you played Legion ball when Coach Radford and Coach Cheek.
Oh, I sure did.
To the – when y'all played Shelby, I was at that.
Were you at the game?
I came. Yes, I sat in the stands.
We played some home games here at Irwin.
Yes.
And I'll never forget I tell you, me and we had a fun group. But a fun story about that one was we had – and it has nothing to do with baseball, but we had a game down at Hickory or whatnot, and Florida Georgia Line and Nelly were on McCormick Field. And so there was a group of us that had tickets. Well, no one better than Cody Cheek was like, "Well, I'll take you guys back and I'll get you guys back in time." We're like, "Well, there's no way we'll get back in time." He's like, "Don't you worry, boys." He said, "If you got tickets, whatever, you just make sure you're in my van." And I tell you, we made some time coming up 40 and Cody, but we had a great time with both those guys. And I wish that I could have played a lot more games here at Irwin because we loved seeing how far we could hit the balls and stuff. It was awesome. Good time.
And I remember that story. I was told that story.
It was absolutely true. I didn't know those church fans could get what I saw, but Cody was extremely safe and responsible.
Yeah, we won't incriminate him.
No.
Do you think you're less likely to get pulled over in a church van?
I think we have to be. And then if you do, it's just like, "Sir, officer, we got 9 guys. We're trying to get back to Nelly and Florida Georgia Line are on McCormick's Field." And I think they would probably give us an escort.
Sorry, Coach. We didn't mean to. We got sidetracked there.
That's okay. I believe I started that.
It's all right. We get off the rails constantly.
We do.
You had 24 years. One, you said right before we got on, one was with the middle school, but the rest are all right here at Irwin High School.
Yes.
So you've seen a few things come and go out of this school.
I have. I've seen the good and the bad. And Irwin gets we get a bad rap, a little bit. But it's a great place. I mean, I've had opportunities, obviously. Cleveland County guy, I've had a chance to go back home. I'm a divorced father, too, so I was never going to leave my two children. But ironically enough, I'm engaged, and my fiance is from Shelby. So I visit quite often, and she's tried to pull me back there. And I've talked, but it's just I'm here. I live in Weaverville. My son graduated from Irwin, but my daughter goes to North Buncombe. She'll be a sophomore. Just her group of friends, and she plays two to three sports, and that nucleus in that group. So I just decided to leave her here. But it's close. It's a close drive over here. But I love the kids I work with. It's just a good group when you can instill in them, keeping the main thing the main thing. Yes, we all want to win. We all competitive. But to see the growth, for example, last year's group, we were 4-7. Now, we've had good years here, but that group, Monday through Thursday, the preparation leading up to Friday night, they were in tune. They bought what we were selling. They were a sponge, and it was fun. The scheming, the little chess match, and going through the week practice day to day, and they worked hard. And I wish, as the head coach, I wanted more success, to happen on the field. But sometimes we were young, had a 14-year-old freshman quarterback, and you're going to have some bumps in the road. That was the first time in my time, and we've had some good quarterbacks here. But none of them have started as a freshman. And this kid, Caden Engel, he has a chance to be special. But regardless, the greats of the world, in the NFL, they had their struggles when they were young and thrown out there to the fire on Friday night, and it was no different. And we knew that going in. We knew we were going to have to be a little bit better defensively. And I felt we were a lot better defensively. But it was just we were in games. But there at the end, some teams pulled away from us. Asheville pulled away late. Brevard pulled away late. Mountain Heritage. Really, the only two teams we played, Reynolds and West Henderson, those two games sort of got away from us. But
those are two pretty fantastic football teams.
And yes, they are. Yes, they are. And we've battled rentals through the years, and we know. We know what that game going into it. We know what it is each and every year. And you're going to have to bring your A game, and luck's going to have to be on your side. But we're still chasing. You know, it's that's our goal is to be up there with the elite and be in that conversation. And if you want to win a conference championship, you have to go through Fairview. That's no mistaking about it. But you know, we're not going to ever back down. You know, we want to be the best. You got to beat the best, and so we know who they are. And so if we want to achieve our dreams and goals, you know, we've got to beat them where it counts, and that's on the field.
Now, you're definitely in the conversation. You had 8 players last year, it was all conference.
We did.
And you shared with me 4 of them are coming back.
4 coming back, yes.
So to paint that picture a little bit. How does that set you up here coming in next year?
Offensively is where we have the most. Anytime any coach will tell you, our whole offensive line's back. So with a quarterback being able to protect him, and it's no mistake, and everybody knows, I mean, we're going to throw the football. That's who we are. That's our identity. A lot of teams, mountain football, you have to stop the run. Well, with us, obviously, you have to stop the pass. We'll still run it, but, you know, it's no secret. We want to throw it. And with a quarterback like Caden and being able to protect him up front, and then we have all-conference returner, receiver, Lawson Reynolds, who can do some dynamic things. And Michael Petty, we had moved him, shifted him from the running back position. I think in the Reynolds game last year, midway through, he was still playing tailback. And we suffered some injuries, and we just lost some people. And we had to move because we had no weapons. We lost, and we moved him to outside receiver, and it helped us. It changed us offensively, I felt. And it was a great decision by Coach Lusk, our offense coordinator and offensive coaches, to suggest that, and we ran with it. And I thought down the stretch we were much better. We played TC tough. We were right there, fourth down, 4th and 1, right before the half. We're down 20-7, so we could have cut it 20-14. We didn't punch it in, and I'm like, missed opportunity. But the kids, I mean, we played them lights out, I thought, defensively. We just didn't have enough offense for them. But alluding to, you know, the returners, Milky Ray was all-conference. He's coming off labrum surgery, so he hasn't been able to do anything since late February, early March, when he was diagnosed. It's funny, he had a torn labrum, but he was hitting the weight room hard. And it happened in the West Henderson game coming off. I mean, you know, he was in pain. He had to come out, and he's a two-way starter. Plays tailback. You can spread him out in the slot position to catch the ball. He's a corner. We don't have a lot of depth, so some of our guys have to play both ways. We'll have more depth this year than we've had in the past. We'll have about 42. But I feel good about offensively. We're above where we need to be. We had a FCA camp last week, 7-on-7. Now, it's 7-on-7. Basketball on grass, there's no line, there's no hitting. But for what we do and the timing that you need to develop in the preseason, I feel good about where we are right now with the receivers and the quarterback, and all of them are back. So, you know, that's what I expect. I expect to be good in that element. You know, we still got to gel it all together, you know come August and September. But – defensively is where the biggest question marks for us leading into this year, because we lost a lot in the box, all conference. We had 2 of our 3 down linemen were all conference, 2 backers all conference. Our middle backers back, but we lost Nick Sharp. He was our outside backer, dynamic player, did a lot of things for us, and he's going to be hard to replace. So we're a little bit ahead offensively than where we are defensively. And we know we have to. I don't want to be in shootouts, you know, but sometimes you're going to have to be. And, you know, we know there's a lot of good defensive teams, and, you know, they can shut you down. So it's getting stops on 3rd down, getting off the field when you can, bend but don't break mentality, and just, you know, take advantage of opportunities when they come up in the game. Because there's always, there's 50-50 balls. And Mr. Art, which it's going to be your play or their play. And sometimes you make them, sometimes you don't. But we need to make more of those defensively this year.
Any young guys coming up we haven't heard of that are going to make an impact this year?
Noah Hudum, he was a JV player last year, and I saw it in the weight room in January and February. And, you know, the coaching, the core group of the coaching staff, they get away. You know, me and one other coach, we're with them all winter. So we see them every day and just see that development in the weight room, bigger, faster, stronger, that everybody talks about. And I just knew, I thought he's going to be special. He's going to be a diamond in the rough. And at FCA, all the coach, they saw what I had been seeing. They were like, wow. I said, I told you so. I mean, the kid, he's got wiggle, you know, he's got hips, you know, he's good hands. And he showed some toughness down there. Even 7-on-7, I mean, it gets physical. And ironically enough, we had to play Asheville. And it was a little heated, but obviously that's what you expect.
Oh yeah,
right.
You know, it's a conference game in the summer, so you know their kids, our kids, we know each other, and they want to perform their best. And it was back and forth. We couldn't stop them; they couldn't stop us. You know, getting late when it's, you know, games on the line, it was a little chippy, but I'm okay with that. You know, as long as it's in the rules, and you know we don't lose our mind, and nobody did, but it was. It was good competitive.
That's why you compete.
Absolutely. Every play. Oh, and yeah. And Noah demonstrated that. But really, I mean, it's a veteran team. I think defensively, I spoke with Noah offensively. Defensively, Kadarian, KD, Brown, he's going to be a good one. I feel he's going to be a good one. He's a sophomore. He showed some – tremendous grit. We knew he was athletic, but he showed some grit and some toughness that we need on that side of the ball in that second level, you know, to help run support, to help our guys, and then being able to cover the deep ball, obviously, because we have some gunslingers that, you know, they still may hang their hat on the run, but, you know, at times they won't stretch the field, and you know, we're going to have to defend the field vertically, and I feel like he can do that.
With your coaching staff, you know, you've been here, obviously, 24 years, so you've seen a lot probably change, a lot come and go. Where are you at with your coaching staff? How do you feel about it? You know, are there any big changes this upcoming year, anything like that for us to be on the lookout for?
The core group of this staff, we've been together 20-plus years.
Wow.
Yes, Coach Brookshire, years ago, he brought in – Coach Jeremy Crook, he's coached O-line, D-line, but he's our D-line guy. Coach Eddie Taylor, who's our defensive coordinator and leads our secondary. Years and years when I was the DC, I would coach safeties and Coach Taylor, or he coached safeties and I would coach corners. So we tag-teamed that and when I led the defense. So worked with him many, many years. And then when Coach Sexton was hired, we brought on Chris Brown. So he's been here, gosh, 17, 18 years. Roy Lusk, our offensive coordinator, he's been here 15, 16 years.
Wow.
And all these guys I'm mentioning, there is only one guy other than myself, but I'm grandfathered in, I feel like, because I've been here. But there's only one guy that did not play and graduate from Irwin High School. And in my experience, I've added guys through the years – and it just hasn't worked out. There's actually four guys on staff that I've coached. So for them to come back means a lot. But it's Irwin guys because they know. It's just different, you know, in Leicester. You know, it's that mentality of us against the world and nobody's going to give you anything. You have to earn everything you get. But I think if you do earn it, I mean, that's the manly thing. That's what we want. We don't want nothing given to us. Well, we want to earn it. But those guys, Chris Cromer's one, Damian Ferguson, who was a great quarterback for us, he's on staff. Landon Green, I mentioned Chris Brown, two of my coaches have kids at play. Coach Cromer, he has two boys at play. Both of them are on varsity. And then Coach Brown's son is our starting center, and he'll be a four-year starter at center, Nathaniel Brown. So that's unique. And it seems like we've been in that pattern of having coaches and coaches' kids play for us. You know, it keeps building and building and building. And the newest addition, two of them this year, Jeremiah Jackson, he was a good player, played at went JUCO route, went to Southwest Missouri State, played ball there, played overseas a little bit. He's actually Noah Hudum is his brother that I mentioned, Noah. So he's back helping us this year. And Marzarius Simone is the only one that is not a Irwin graduate, but he played ball at Mars Hill, and he's been here 15, 16 years. So it's a veteran group with the young. So you like that mix. And I don't have many years left. So, you know, I'm building it and shaping it, and we hired Dalton Crook, Coach Crook's son, at the middle school. So he's coming back. He was at Valley Springs,
yep,
this past year. So I worked some magic and got him back.
There you go. And making moves. Okay.
And then so some good things are happening. Yeah. The AD over there, I think Coach Crook is going to become the AD at the middle school. His dad, not the son, but the dad that works for us, because he went and worked at Valley with his son to help him. But he still coached. It was funny. He coached with us, but he coached Valley also. So he was hearing back and forth. But now they'll be just across the street, just across the field here, and we're glad to have them both, you know, back with us. So it's good and it's unique. You don't always get that,
right? So you said that coach played overseas, played football overseas.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty rare.
It is.
It's pretty rare.
It is. Yeah, Jeremiah Jackson, and he's a good one.
So how did your spring practice go?
I thought we got better at what we need to get better at. You're always evaluating. You're seeing if this guy can do it. Offensively, we know who we got.
Right.
It would be hard to crack into that. We might have developed some depth offensively at the wideout position and everything. You're always looking for depth up front. Yeah. But it's just hard offensive line wise. You go into it, if you can get seven, that's a great year. Usually you might get five and a half and you're moving somebody and, you know, you just find one backup if you're lucky. So we've got Ulysses Reya Nunez, nickname, we call him Weege. Okay.
That's much easier to say.
He's hurt. He's injured coming off a torn meniscus. So he's missed. He missed spring ball. He's missing all summer. I don't know if we'll have him for the first couple weeks of the season, but Mikey Miller is filling in for him, which when Weege gets back, you have a guy that will have some experience. So if something happens in a game, you have that number six. You have that one that can go in and – you don't, because it's hard offensive line wise. Just week to week, there may be you face an odd front, then you face an even front. Some of the blocking, you know, the scheme doesn't change, but block some of the combination stuff.
And we've talked about it in the past. It's not just a Irwin, or it's not just a Inca North Buncombe. It's, you know, Reynolds has talked about even here in Pat's, like the depth. I mean, they might have a couple other ones, but. Even, you know, talked about if Brennan went down last year, it's like you only have so many guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, Mike's son being offensive lineman at Christ School, it's like kids just don't walk through the hall. It's like you're not – there's not a huge line that's like, hey, I want to go out and be an offensive lineman. You don't get the recognition. It's a tough, gritty – I mean, it's hard nose. It takes a special breed of a individual to want to do that, and that's kind of – you know, that leads to – depth and number issues.
It seems like when we were kids, there were a lot more offensive linemen. When did it become so hard to find offensive linemen?
Well, I have a theory with youth leagues of today. I'm not throwing shade at them at all. They're out there volunteering their time. But we know, I mean, it's daddy ball. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
If you're going to, most of them are volunteering their time because their sons are playing. And they can be with their sons coaching. I have no problem with that. But just in our experience over here, there was a kid that played quarterback all through youth league. I mean, from the termites all the way up. And then he grows into a bigger body, so he's not going to play quarterback. Right. Well, he quits playing football. And so, and also, you know, that, but also you're not grooming a quarterback as well. So it's a, you know, double-edged sword in that sense. But I do believe, because none of them want to do it, especially the young age. They well, little Johnny, he gets to run, he gets to catch the ball.
Right.
And I'm here, you know, I'm hitting every play and I'm putting my hand down on the ground and I don't get to do anything. Yeah. It's just hit. And they're having all the fun. They get to run around. So I understand that aspect of it. So I feel like you need to make it more fun at that age, you know, and change it up. And here, Cody Chick used to do this a lot in spring ball and maybe the off week. We would change and flip roles where we would put our skill guys as the linemen.
Oh, yeah.
We'd put our linemen as the skill just to change it up, just to have a little fun. Just
that'd be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, that's like putting outfielders in the infield, and it's like it's so easy to field a ground ball at shortstop and flick it over there. It's like also super easy to go catch a pop fly in center field. It's like switch it up a day and just
– Absolutely.
Humble
but I think that factors into it. I really do. But I think – honestly, I think youth league football, I think we should be flagged.
So do you think flag up until middle school? What do you think is appropriate? Middle school?
Seventh grade.
Middle school,
I think
really?
That's what I believe. Just with the hitting.
Think that's a hot take that Coach Pruitt's just – I think there's a lot more – I've been hearing that a lot more.
Well, just, you know, because our game – football's always under attack.
Yeah.
And our numbers are decreasing. Each and every year we lose kids to this and – you know, the travel ball in basketball, AAU, and baseball with the travel, all of it.
Oh, boy.
Is pulling people away. And you know, do kids want to come out here and flip tires in the summer and hit the weights? And do they want to be in the gym shooting hoops? Football's tough.
Yeah.
You know, all sports are tough. I know that they're all competitive. But football takes a different kind of toughness. You have to a different kind of grittiness because it is truly blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
It's pain involved to play this game. So to start that young, you know, and I've seen it through the years, and you know, kids are doing monkey rolls or kids, it's bull in the ring, and things are just outdated. And it's just you line up this kid that may have played football 4 years, and here's a new kid, and they just, okay, you're going to get up, and this kid's carrying the ball. Does he really, honestly, do we really want to run and hit that kid? No, we don't. And so he does that. He may never, ever pick up the pads again. He may walk away. And we had a youth clinic a few Saturdays ago. Danny Wilkins helped put it on. There was over 100 youth league coaches over at Lake Hills Church. And I spoke, Coach Law spoke, Ricky Brindley from Pisgah, Wes Henderson. Paul Whitaker. Court spoke, Mike Sexton at Inca. And just sort of going over some things. And I thought Coach Law's made a valid point to the youth league coaches. I listened to his talk. He said, you know, that kid that's a third stringer that you're not spending any time with, you know, and he may not be tough, but when he gets to me, he may run a 4.4. He may have really good hands. So kids don't have to be tough anymore. Like back in our day, you know, it was just blow snot and all that.
Right.
You don't have to. My son played football and he played for me. Like, he was not that type of kid, but he was a good football player, but he wasn't just the toughness and everything, he didn't have that. But he could play in the secondary, he could play receiver and contribute to the team. And I feel like that's the point he was trying to get at. You know, you're not investing in this kid, you're just pushing him off to the side, and he may give it up, but he may really become, he could become a great athlete and a great football player, but you have just you've robbed him at a young age because well he's not tough. He can't do this. But and it's happened. I mean, time and time again.
He could also grow, you know, and get bigger. And
absolutely.
These kids' bodies change so much.
They change so much. And I'm not, you know, about just everybody needs a participation trophy, but what I'm seeing in not just football, not just baseball, but, I mean, even in girl sports, it's how many people, individuals do you know that got cut from a middle school sport? Say it was girls basketball and they're a really good softball player. It's like they got cut from middle school basketball. It's like, do you think when they get to the high school, they're going to go try out for the team? It's like, well, she in junior year, it's like, I mean, we know Peyton Whitson. It's like she wasn't the most skilled player in all the sports that she played. She was an unbelievable softball player, but it's like she'd go out there and face guard someone for 24 minutes or however many minutes she's playing girls basketball. And you can contribute, you know, in – I'm not saying you need to keep everybody, but there's no sense in that middle school baseball teams need to have 10 kids. There's no sense of it. I mean, I'm with you, Coach, and that's interesting. And I'm torn. You know, my mom will tell you that I tore my ACL playing football in fifth grade for the East Buncombe Youth Rockets. My dad played college football, tore both his ACLs. And I'll tell you this, I tore an ACL playing football and I tore an ACL playing college baseball. So it can happen in anything. It can happen in church basketball. But I, you know, just the one thing is that there's the fear of I'm going to get hurt or my boy's going to get hurt. My baby's going to get hurt. And it's like, you know, I've seen some baseball players get real injured. I've seen some basketball players. I mean, soccer is one of the most concussions. I think that's been proven. But I think there's been a coach that tells us that safety has never been more of a priority than it is in today's game. So I think that's something that parents can lean on. And going back to the different sports, do you have individuals that play multiple sports? What's your opinion on that? Do you know?
I'm a big proponent multiple sport guy.
Obviously, Caden played baseball.
Yes. Okay. And he actually played basketball as well.
Did he play? Okay.
Yes. Lawson Reynolds is a good player. He played basketball. Michael Petty, basketball. Nathaniel Brown, Coach Brown's son, he played baseball.
Nick Schultz played football.
Absolutely.
Yeah, unbelievable and baseball player.
And Nick Schultz, you bring up Nick and Rex Miller.
Yeah.
I begged them, and it was during COVID. I begged. They didn't play their freshman year. Their sophomore year, they came out, and we actually won the JV conference championship their sophomore year. Well, they had, you know, all the schedules we were back to back, and it was I don't want to even bring up all that, but fast forward at the end of their sophomore year where they had football and basketball season, baseball, and it was all overlapping, they came to me and like, we're not gonna play. And I've learned, you know, it's not my first rodeo, I know. And some coaches may like, well, you know, and that's not the approach I took. I just said, I'm going to give you time. You know, I understand. You just came out of baseball season. You've been doing sports all year. I know you're tired. Your body's tired. And the one thing I don't want to do is say, you got to get out here to spring ball. Because now we've added spring football. And we need it. You know, to keep up with the Joneses, you know, because everybody around us has been doing it. So I was like, you know, just take spring ball off. Don't worry about it. But we need you because I knew both of them could be starters.
Yeah.
And both of them ended up coming back. Nick came back quicker. And Rex, in the summer, it was late July, and he texted me and said, Coach, I miss it. Will you allow me back? I said, absolutely. And I had a talk, and we laugh about it. You've talked to them today. They would tell you the story. And I just said, I told you so. I wasn't going to, and all my coach, all the coaches, you know, because all of them, I'll hear 11 opinions.
Everybody's got it.
They're like, you know, and it's funny. I love my guys. But they'll have that opinion. I'm like, just be calm.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's going to work out. And it did in that instance. Yeah. And we'll have guys that, and you don't always, some of them walk away, but I've never, I've never had a kid that gave up football come back and say, man, that was a great decision. I'm glad I gave up football. But I do have them come back and say, Coach, I regret it. You were right. I should have kept playing. And, you know, the proof's in the pudding. That's because football's, in my opinion, obviously, you know, biased or not, because I love all sports. I played them. My brothers played them. My parents, growing up, they coached multiple sports. I've coached multiple sports. It's the ultimate team sport. And it teaches you so much just about being and growing into a young man. And that's what we want to do here. You know, you take a boy as a freshman. And that's what I tell the moms in the meeting when you're looking out at them. You know, we want to win games. We're going to coach your kid hard. Sometimes it's tough love. Sometimes it's not pleasing thank you. But I promise you, if you trust us, we will help mold him and be an extension of you and help you raise him to the young man that you want him to be, because we want the same thing. And that, if you keep that as the foundation, that's why we do what we do. I'm getting cold chills talking about it. But that's that's who we are. The multi-sport athlete, I'm a big proponent. And we couldn't compete here if our athletes, you know, don't play multiple sports. And we have a large majority of kids, at least, that play two.
Yeah.
We don't have many that play three anymore. And I think, you know, with travel ball and everything, I get it. We're all pulling. I wish we'd have a dead period. Sidebar. I wish we'd make July a dead period. Shut it all down.
Do nothing.
Don't do anything. Because right now, my guys, we practiced this morning, football. We lifted. Well, they had basketball practice before football. Then they'll go back and play. There's baseball things going on.
Yeah.
So they're doing three sports right now. All in a month, we're trying to cram it in June. And really, all the other sports go dead in July anyway. Football's the only one. But if give us June. Give us all June. We'll all do all that in June. And we had two dead periods anyway in July.
Yeah.
Me, shut it down. Because it used to be that way when I played. You know, and I played in a good program. And football was still good back in those days.
Yeah.
And you picked it up August 1st. There wasn't 7-on-7 games and all that. And, you know, and I'm not saying we have to take all that away. You know, it's changing and it's different. And it's a good thing. But I think we are overworking our athletes.
Yeah. And you got to be conscious, because if you're out here practicing them until 6-7 o'clock at night, it's like before the season starts, there's teams that run out of gas, and that the season, I mean, I know it's just 2-3 months long, but these are student athletes. They have homework. They've got lives that are trying to, I mean, there's so many different things that's in their backpacks that you've got to try and be conscious with. And I think that just by you saying, you know, I told them just give them a little bit of time, and I could just hear, because I know that I can hear the assistant coaches. I probably would have said, you know, the kids don't want to be here, then we want kids that'll be here and this and that. And I mean, I just, that's been in every coach's talk, but no, that's awesome.
Well, as an assistant coach, I was that same guy.
Oh, for sure.
So I know. But when you sit in the seat, it's a little different.
Oh yeah.
when you sit in the seat, for sure.
No,
how closely are you working, obviously, with your middle school and youth league? I know you mentioned you have a coach that just went down to the middle school. How closely you work with those two?
It's touch and go. Now, we lost our youth league in COVID, so we didn't even have one for 2 years.
Really?
Coming out of COVID. So we just got it back, and actually our football commissioner, he's on my staff for the youth league. So it's the best in that regard that it's ever been, as far as we've always had one piece. It's either we're connected with the youth league and not the middle school, or we're connected with the middle school and not the youth league. But now I feel like the pieces are in play to connect all three and to build from the ground up. But Irwin, it's a melting pot. We play with kids in youth league. We play with kids in middle school. But it would blow your minds how many kids are in this district that are playing – everywhere else. So I promise you there is not another program around that has lost athletes like we lose them. And I'm not just talking about like every year. And you know, you're around. I mean, Ty Johnson, like for us, you know, 1,400 yard receiver, freshman quarterback. He went through summer with us, all the 7-on-7. And, you know, he's practicing with us first 3 days. Wednesday morning, he's with us. Wednesday afternoon, he's at Reynolds. You know, and then you got to go play against him. And he is a great player.
Yeah.
And, he lives 1.7 miles because I picked him up on the bus when he rode the bus during his freshman, well, actually in middle school, because I drive a school bus as well. And, you know, he's right there. His sister still played at Irwin basketball.
I didn't think you could play it, have siblings at two different Buncombe County schools.
Well, you know, I don't know. Some things just, and I don't, you know, I could get on the soapbox.
But we actually, that was one of the questions. That's one of my questions. It's not him. He's a dynamic athlete. He would have made a tremendous difference.
For a
freshman quarterback. Because,
well, we went through all summer.
Yeah.
We went through 37-on-7 games.
And how you said timing is extremely important.
Absolutely.
Especially in your guys' scheme.
Absolutely. And that's not to take anything, you know, away from – I'm not saying, you know, my guys that I had that, well, you're not good enough, I want to tie. I'm not saying that, you know. But at some point in time, you know, and that was at the 11th hour deal. And, you know, we have a work relationship, Shane and I. But at the county level, if we're going to have an open enrollment, well, let's just put it out there and say we've got open enrollment. Let's not hide behind like we don't have it. You know, Asheville City, that's a different – because they're a city school. Now, we'll consolidate soon. That's coming down the pipeline.
That is definitely – That's coming very, very soon.
That's coming. Probably, I'd say, within 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
We'll consolidate. But our districts, we overlap. When I drive a school bus, I'm passing the Asheville City bus. We have some of their kids. They have some of us. But there are – I mean, I can count just off the top of my head, there's 7 Leicester kids that are playing elsewhere that if we – Irwin could be that team if we had all our guys. And I'm – we have good guys. We have some – but one or two can make a difference.
Absolutely they can.
And so – because if they're playing at these other schools, they're pretty good. I can promise you that.
They're
not taking bad ones.
No.
I can promise you.
That's so true.
So how do we stop it? How do you keep the kids from just jumping around? Do you make it just open enrollment? Or do you try to put some sort of clamps on it?
I don't know in the – and I met with the superintendent. I met with the county AD. And we had discussions – I think there are some things that were outlined that, you know, well, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. A, B, and C, whatever that is. But if a rental property, you don't own a home, you don't own, you know, and you up and, you know, it's easy to say, well, you know, my uncle's getting evicted and I've got a god grandparent over here, and I'm going to live in this basement, and we're moving in. What, I mean, how you win that? I mean, it is what it is, you know, and it's, and we're talking about a certain, you know, culture in that. And, but when you can bounce around to apartment to apartment to, and you can't track it, I know what I know. I don't want to throw out a lot of stuff, but when you have a living address in Leicester, you have a mailing. I'm sorry, it's listed in the Power School as a mailing address in Leicester, living address in Shiloh. But so you mean tell me you live in Shiloh? But you're driving to Leicester to pick up your mail. Now, make that make sense. Okay.
That's not like
so, like, a lot of things have been brought to me, and that's why I'm saying, okay, I'm telling the powers that be, make it make sense to me, because I don't understand. Because I can tell you, I can dissect it, and I can tell you exactly what's going on. And you know, and they basically, they didn't have an answer for me, you know, to track or whatever. But I did alert them, and they do know. And I think they will check more and more, but I don't know to fully stop it. I don't know that you can.
Yeah.
And it goes on with every school. I mean, we had a transfer from North Buncombe this year in the off season. and you know, we've had transfers before. Now, when we've had transfers in the past, Irwin has won 10 games 4 times in its history. I've been a part of 2 of those 4. One as an assistant coach, one as a head coach. Both of those years when we won 10 games. And it's hard to win 10. Winning's hard. I mean, you know, it's when you win double-digit wins, I mean, you've had a good season. And here at this place, I mean, that's a great season.
Yeah.
4 times in the history of 70-plus years, I mean, that's pretty good. And I feel, you know, I'm humbled. I've been a part and blessed. I've been a part of 2 of them. But we had transfers on both of those teams. So they do help because you're not getting in bad players, like I said.
Right.
So – you know, I'm sorry to be on my soapbox.
No, and it's every – I mean, it's – no, and Cody, you're just being honest and giving the frustration. I mean, Robertson, and I think the world of their coaching staff and what they've built over there, and their pitcher that – I think he threw 5 or 6 innings, and it's like he went to Inca Middle School in 8th grade.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he just dominated in state games again today. It's like – so it's just – it's like Asheville got the running back from McDowell. And we were talking about how important was he at McDowell, where McDowell's already, you know, hurting at the level they're at. And then you take an athlete like when I was at West Henderson, you know, it's just funny how the county, you know, replaces Luke Manuel from Hendersonville Middle School to the West Henderson. And it's like, so guess what? The best athlete in West North Carolina, arguably, is now going to West Henderson High School. And he's going to be a 3-sport all-state athlete.
And changed, you know, changed Mills River forever.
Oh, forever. Yeah. State championship
and
in baseball.
Paul will tell you that. Yeah. Oh. Baseball,
football,
and basketball.
Basketball.
He was a big contributor.
Oh, he was.
And the nucleus of that group. And Paul's done it a long time, and he knows. I mean, that's his – we talked
super
about it
because
we played
him
twice. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But he said, you know, these people, they'll be – because he said, I know. You know, it's not – you better enjoy this because it doesn't last. And, you know, and I know that, and I say, you know, we talk about it over here. You know, never get the highs, never let them get you too high, never let the lows get you too low. Just try to enjoy the journey, enjoy the ride because, I mean, it will be over.
Yeah.
It will end. And you just – and especially always enjoy a win. You may not play well. You may have some things – but you can worry about that in the Saturday meeting and the film and all that. But on that night, enjoy it. Enjoy it with kids. And that's our approach. And that's our message to our kids. You know, it's enjoy the journey. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy us being together. Because each time there's a finality of it. You know, each season you may have returners. But like this 2024 season, this team, I mean, when this season's over, that chapter's closed. No more. Yeah, there'll be pieces that come back, but that group, you're done.
Right.
Together, it's done.
Now, one of your wins was actually one that I really enjoyed last year because I had the opportunity to come out and watch the Jamboree here at Irwin and all the teams compete. Obviously, I got to watch you all play a little bit. I was impressed when I saw you guys out there on the field. So when we got together early in our podcast, we were starting to pick games.
I didn't do my homework.
And you all had Daniel Boone as your first game last year. Well, I picked Irwin out of our group to win. Everybody else made fun of me and mocked me because Daniel Boone was this world beater in Tennessee. And then, lo and behold, you go ahead and pull it out. So, thank you for that. I enjoyed that win, and you made me look like I knew what I was talking about.
I appreciate the love.
That
I appreciate
was
the
big
love.
Time.
Yeah. So, and speaking of that, we've asked this of other coaches. Non-conference schedule, obviously, really important. What does that look like for you this year? What's your anticipation of that? Is it the same group? You have a different group?
It's the same because it's 2-year contracts that we do. So it's tough. Daniel Boone. Now, when we played them last year, they were coming off a phenomenal year, 11-2.
State champions.
Yeah, I mean, it was – they were – so we didn't really know. And it was probably good for my kids that, you know, and that environment, oh, man, that's a different environment. I mean, the tailgating and the – I mean, it was comparable to a Western Carolina crowd. You know, at that level, just the amount of people. Now, in our heyday, we've played the Science Hills of the world, and Ootawas and all. We've been into, you know, in the Reynolds game brings a crowd and things. But it's just different because truly, it's like Western North Carolina. I mean, football is important in this part. But in East Tennessee, it's king. And because you have Elizabethan and so many great programs and Dobbins Bennett, who Asheville plays. Just I could go on in Greenville, Tennessee.
Right.
But Mountain Heritage, Brevard, and West Henderson.
No, those are
back to back to back.
Wow.
And I added up at one time and I had it our non-conference opponent's record last year.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Mountain Heritage won the conference or tied for the conference. West Henderson won their conference.
Double digit
Brevard
wins,
won their conference.
Double digit wins, double digit wins.
Yeah, and all of them played deep.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Deep. And really, we won one, should have beat Heritage here. We had them beat. Freshman quarterback hurt us, had the lead fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. But coaching staff, we should have protected him.
Yeah.
But we throw a pick, you know, after a penalty, it backs us up, first down. But, hey, you got to
– yeah.
Guys, that's on me. You know, it's when we win, it's our kid. When we lose, hey, I'll take all the blame. You know, I didn't do my job to put you in position. But this year, Mountain Heritage and Brevard are both on the road, and they're both back-to-back. So that's tough, and they're going to be good. They are loaded.
Mountain Heritage, everybody's talking about them.
Everybody's coming back in Brevard.
Yeah. Like, Brevard, if any listeners that go back and watch their first play against Reidsville, and, I mean, it's just Reidsville, obviously, I think they – walked to the state championship, but Brevard
played them tough.
Oh, played them tough, and they returned a kick all the way to the half yard line, mm-hmm. and young individual comes from behind. It's one of those plays you see on. I mean, I don't know
Sports Center.
Sports Center, but it's just like it's the worst beat ever. Right. If you're a betting man, it's like someone's getting ready to score a touchdown, and then they fumble out. And it's a turnover.
Yeah.
99-yard positive play that ends up being a turnover.
Yeah.
And they played them tough.
Yeah, they did. And they have a lot returning. And Brevard was at the FCA camp. We went against them. And I know, you know, he feels good. Coach Coleman, we talk. You know, he's got a big tight end. He's got a 4-4 kid, 4-3 kid at receiver. He has the pieces defensively to get after you because they can get after you and man up, you know, so you've got to be physical getting off the line. You know, and it's just – that's two teams with Mountain Heritage and then Brevard, and it's just – I mean, it's going to be a slugfest. And it's just – you're going to know coming out of those 2 weeks how tough you really are, what's the makeup of your team. And I knew last year, I'm like, we have a tough team. I think, and I would say, I would say this to anybody. I'll say it on here. You know, I think we get probably as much and more out of our kids than maybe any program around. That's the way I feel. Is that beating my chest a little bit? Yeah, but that's the confidence I have in my coaching staff and our kids to buy in and to sell out for us and to play as hard. And I think you could talk to any coach that we've played and just say they are going to battle you. They are going to play you as hard as possible. And there was a track meet this year, and one of my linemen, he threw shot, and they were at a track meet, you know, and all the guys are around, TC, Reynolds, Ash, everybody. And he said, he came up and he told Coach Brown, he was like, Coach, over there at the track meet, you know, so-and-so, these kids from, you know, Reynolds or TC or Asheville, all of them came up and said, man, it don't matter if you're up by 30, you're down by 30, and our coaches tell us when we play our one, we better be ready because they're going to battle us no matter what the score is. And, you know, that's That's
as great as a compliment as you could get.
And that's a testament to, number one, the kids.
Yeah.
And number two, the coaching staff for pushing them and understanding the right buttons. And because it's hard to motivate kids now.
Oh, yeah.
Kids don't – you say jump and they say how high. That doesn't happen anymore. Uh-huh. So when you get that – and that's what I alluded to earlier about it's fun coaching this group. We were 4-7. Yeah, I mean, that sucks, and I wear that and everything. But the prep and everything going through it with those kids, it was a joy to coach them. And a lot of that is on this year's team. And so – and it's been fun up to this point. So we just – I want to – kick the door in and get a few more W's, and I'll be a little more satisfied.
What's the tougher three-game stretch, Mount Heritage, Brevard, and West, or Reynolds, Asheville, TC? Because you play – that's two three-game stretches.
I know.
I'm sure you know.
He's aware of it.
Yeah, Coach Brent is aware of it.
I'm very aware. And
that's unreal now that you bring that up.
Yeah. Well, and that's too tough.
Well, and we were 0-3 and 0-3. And but you learn a lot. I mean, you learn a lot about a young team, your quarterback especially. You know, I'm just like, gosh. I mean, I hope he's able to stay in the game, because we know the pressure. Because you know, I've been a DC. When you have that young inexperience, you want ten years back. You're coming,
right?
You know, and you want to disrupt him. Don't give him time to be comfortable in the pocket and everything. And so we took our lumps last year. And so hopefully, you know, flip that around and we can learn from those experiences, Caden especially, our offensive line especially. And there's good film, and we broke down film from last season and looked at tweaking things, what we need to address, what we did good, even in some of those games, there were good things, positive things that happened. So you just try to grow, learn from the good and the bad, and you know, try to change the outcome, obviously. But it's tough. It's a tough stretch. I had forgotten that, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Thanks, Mike, for bringing that up.
Not be able to think about that this summer.
Yes, June 19th, and now I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to sleep well tonight. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, boy.
So what's your favorite win here at Irwin?
The two come to mind.
All right.
One was 2010 at South Point. And that was the year we won 10.
Boy, that's a name drop.
They were the defending state champs. And believe it or not, that year, and it was the Big South Conference. So three straight rounds, and this was the second round. The first round we had to play Kings Mountain. We beat them on the road. Second round, we had to play South Point. 57-56. We went for two in triple overtime, double overtime, and we went for two
Austin,
and won.
Was that Austin's year or the year
that
after?
That was Garrett's year.
Garrett,
his
older brother. Yeah.
That was his year.
2010, yeah, you're right, Garrett.
Yep. And so.
Good Lord.
Yes.
And he could go.
Oh, he could go.
And he could go.
He's the one that scored the two-point play.
Yeah.
And then the next week we had to play Crest, who they lost in state championship that year.
Good Lord.
But that was our gauntlet.
Oh yeah.
You know, that year. And I was familiar with South Point, because when I was at Burns in my comp, and two teams only made the playoffs, and we had Kings Mountain, Shelby, South Point, Burns, Crest was 4A the time. RS was good then. East Rutherford, that they were good. It was a juggernaut. So I knew.
Yeah.
I knew going in to South
Point. If you make it out of that conference.
Oh, yes. So we knew what was expected. But the next one happened 2 years ago, not this past season before. McDowell right here. And probably the most exciting win of my tenure, of my career. We hadn't played good. It was homecoming and senior night all in one. And you know, any coach will tell you they hate those. I mean, it's great for the fans. It's great for all the people and the girls getting their pretty dresses, and they walk out there, and then the seniors, they hug their mamas, and there's a good cry, and they feed them candy, and I got candy all in the locker room. It's all fun for everybody but the head coach, I promise you. It's not fun for the head coach. But so we don't play well. Now, McDowell's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, they are what they do. It's a tough scheme to stop. And we just didn't do a good job that night, but we were scoring. And it was a tie ball game with about 12 and a half seconds to go. So we stopped them, bend but don't break mentality, setting up a field goal. And technology, it's great now. We noticed, because I had two timeouts, so I iced him. I called both. We looked on the iPad, and we saw their left end, he was stepping out on previous field goal or PATs.
Yeah.
So we knew where we were going to attack. So I had two kids, Michi and Ty, long athletic kids that can run. So they were the decoy. They were going to be outside. So I was really going to pull that in, let him step out. So we saw this in the first time out. So we set it up. And I knew I was going to call another one. Luckily, I had one. And Nick Sharp, who he's just that gritty, like, that's who I want to block it. And I knew that. And so when he stepped out, direct line, straight off layout, take it off the foot. Well, the first time out, we go back out, he lines up on the wrong side. He lines up opposite. And, you know, I knew I was calling timeout, so I was like, Nick, I said to line up on the left side. Our left, line up over there. And he was like, I thought you told me to go over here. I said, no.
He's over there. So, Ty, the other guy, is not over
funny.
There.
We're having this conversation in the huddle right before we go back out. Oh, he's okay, I got you, coach. So we planned it. It was schemed. Step out, they snap, he blocks it. What was not planned was we blocked it. We had an athletic kid opposite. The ball, it bounced up. He caught it dead stride by about 80 yards. No time on the clock, touchdown. Well, that's how we won the game. And it's just the celebrating that win, yeah. And coming off a stretch where it is that gauntlet, you know, and you're trying to find your way with, you know, because you've took it on the chin against Reynolds and Asheville. TC, we lost it at the end that year. So to come back and win that game like that, and that group and how they battled and just all the adversity they went through, that'll probably stay with me, you know, forever.
I thought you might have mentioned the Reynolds game out here where you guys just throttled them.
You know,
that's the easy one. That's the one. That's the easy one.
I was here for that.
That was probably and I was DC. That was probably we had a great team, and you know, it was about, you know, earning our respect and everything, and that was Austin Brown's mm-hmm. senior year. Just everything that you scheme and you put into play, everything just worked. It was that perfect storm, that for them, didn't matter what they did, we were a step faster. We knew, because we opened the game up on a pick six. I mean, you know, that just don't, I mean, it's pick six. And then it's just every defensive call, every stunt. I mean, it just worked.
It worked.
And it was a special night.
Sitting on the other side, it was like, nothing is going to go right tonight. Nothing. It was a tough game.
Yeah, but we got it back to us. Coach Sexton's last year in the playoffs, you know, because I hated when we used to play each other so early.
Early in the playoffs.
We'd have those battles, and then we'd play in the first round or second round, and I'm just like.
And you had to go to Reynolds in the playoffs, right?
Yep, yeah. We did. We lost, not that. Well, yeah, that year we battled them. We lost the conference championship. Actually, we went to overtime. We had the lead. We missed an extra point in overtime, and Reynolds beat us in overtime, and then it was like 70-7 in the playoff game, and you know, it was coming off a big victory over Sam Howell, Sun Valley, and then come back up the mountain, and you know, it was just same thing, just flipped. They could do no wrong, we could do no right, and it happens in football. If you you know, I'm humble now. I've been on both sides. And, you know, it's just there's nothing you can do.
And there's been some stretches where that Irwin Reynolds game is like the game of Western North Carolina.
You know, it has. It's been past couple of years, I think, it's maybe been lopsided a little bit. But, you know, we know each other. We played each other, those guys. Hey, a lot of respect, you know, for what they've accomplished and everything. And like I said, you know, that's if we want to be the man, we got to beat the man.
Yep.
And so they're the man right now, and they hold the crown, and they hold all of them. So we've got to bring our A game, and so we'll step up to the challenge this year. It'll be no different. But the MAC, I feel like, is a lot better, top to bottom. I feel like it's challenging anyway, and then just the way the game's set up, just the back to back to back. But you know, this will be the last year, and then we'll see. Realignment and how that.
Who knows what's going to happen with
that? I don't know.
With the new ADMs, are you going to stay in that same with Reynolds and those guys?
What's
or?
Funny with ADM, like they say our numbers are 1120.
Yeah,
and we've got 1,007. That's our numbers. We're right above 1,000. We've lost students. But nobody can tell me where that 1120 comes from. I know we have STEM. I know we have community.
Yeah.
You know, well, this matters to me. So somebody give me an answer.
Yeah, and the Inca number is wrong as well. So.
Yes. So, like, but what? All the schools, we've all decreased.
Yeah.
But we may be the furthest, like, we really, we're losing teaching position because we don't have enough kids. So it's just, I don't know. It could be. You know, you hear different things, but I think we'll be 5A. I think that's what we'll be. I think us and North Buncombe could be 5A. The latest in high school OT guy, he'll do projections with the Big 32. You know, Reynolds, just depend on their numbers. They could be 6 or they could be 5. I think McDowell's definitely 7.
Unfortunately
so
for them.
I do not know if they'll stay with us. Now, if TC goes 7, which is a possibility, because their numbers are going up. So, I don't know. That would help McDowell if TC went 7. Now, I don't know. I don't like 7A, 6A, 5A.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I don't think you can have 3.
I don't want 3, and most coaches don't want that.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't think
so. But the state, I mean, they'll send out surveys, and they'll do this, and I think it's just a cross T's and dot I's.
Eyewash.
They're going to make their decision based on, and they could, if they talk to the right superintendents and the right principals out there, travel. The only thing would be, and not football played on Friday night, but the other sports played during the week.
Yep.
If they're travel concerns and they're like, we can't do it, then you will see it.
Yeah.
You will see 3, and they'll base it on that. It has nothing to do with football. It has all those other minor sports. Basketball's not minor, but, you know, the tennis, cross country, wrestling.
Yeah, because then they'll bring up funding for and then we got students getting back at 10, 11 o'clock at night
during
on a Tuesday,
night.
Tuesday
exactly.
night. And
on
they
a
got
school
it.
Night.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially basketball, you know, because they're getting out of the gym late and it's 4 games.
4 games.
So, you know, I don't know. I would – we've been in a split league for so long, and we've usually been that team that's played the upper boys. You know, Reynolds came back down the 3, but we've always been at that lower tier, and it hurts you playoff time-wise. Yeah. You know, if you're behind, you know, those 4A schools, you're getting – like we were seeded as a wild card this year, and that's why we drew, you know, West Henderson. Now, I'm not saying we had 4-7. We shouldn't have been – hosting the game. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But in years past, we were a little bit better because we do play in a tough league. You know, that should be reward, but it's not. Some teams can play in a weaker league
and
they're going to be seated higher than you. And you're like, well, man, if we had that draw, we match up. Because it's all about matchups when you get to playoffs.
Right.
It's all about the draw.
Yep.
And you know, some draws are bad. Some draws are good.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it'll be anxious to see how that unfolds.
Do you think it's going to be a lot different than when we split it for football A and AA?
No, I think it's going to be.
It's just going to affect the other
pretty
sports.
Pretty much. Well,
because they didn't do it.
I'm surprised football was able to subdivide for so many years without the other sports.
Right.
But the Football Coach Association started this proposal of adopting, because we had to change the bylaws. So we had to write up a proposal, and we had some guys that got together, and we met about it in Greensboro at our winter clinic 2 years ago, and we put it, and luckily we knew the survey, but so we had to get all the other sports involved. And so once you got them involved, it's not a football deal. This is all of us. It's right. Time we need to increase the classification. This has been a 1956 model, and we're not in 1956 no. anymore. So we need to add more teams, and that's how it evolved, and getting all those on board. And absolutely, it passed. You know, yeah. I mean, it was well over 8. I think you had to have like 75%, and it was close to 90%. So everybody was on board with it.
Pat graduated high school in 1956.
That's not true. 1988. I'm old. Well. Gentlemen, we need to probably start wrapping it up here just a little bit. But, Coach, we have an important question for you that we
is
ask
this
everybody.
Secret question?
This is the secret question, double secret probation okay. question. Mm-hmm. When you think back on your high school years, what was the most defining album, music album, of your tenure in high school?
Mm. Well, I graduated in 93, so I was in the early 90s guy.
The grunge era.
Yeah, I mean, I two things. I wasn't big in the country then, and I'm a Cleveland County guy. So I was the Guns N' Roses,
yeah.
Pearl Jam, you know, headbanger. But then I remember, you know, Snoop Dogg came on the scene.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Dre, The Chronic yeah. might have been. So, and that G Thing, Ain't Nothing But a G Thing Baby song.
Yeah.
You know,
you
got me going back.
Yeah.
And, but I just remember, you know, I remember jamming out to those genres.
Indeed.
I like it.
So diverse. I was diverse.
I think, yeah, I was too. I'm a 94 guy, so okay. I'm right there with you.
I'm indeed. 95.
Born.
Yeah.
Born in 95.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, Coach, one last question I think we got for you. Is there anything we didn't ask you that you want to get out there to your community or to talk about at all that we didn't bring up?
We covered a lot.
We did.
I felt like.
Yeah, that's good.
Maybe I talked too much. And
no.
No. Could have allowed you more questions. But, you know, Irwin's a great place. And it's a good community. And I've been here for so long, and it's given me a lot. But it's the coaching staff that I work with, the guys I work with. I wouldn't do it, you know, without those beside me. And I don't have, you know, many more. I'm retiring 5, and, you know, I may have 3 more in me football seasons and just ride off into the sunset. But I always remember, you know, and when you do it for as long as I've done it, when you reflect back and just serving the kids. We got great kids, and every coach loves their kids. I mean, you know, but here it's no different. You know, we love our kids. We pour into them, and they give us everything they have. But that combination of the guys who are loyal to you, because I'm a loyal guy, and I've always been a loyal guy, and I'll step in front, you know, of the runaway train and push you out of the way. And but when you get that back, that means something. And you don't get that, the longevity that I spoke of the coaching staff. You just don't get that in this. It's always looking for greener pastures and the next, you know, wanting to be a head coach, which I would never fault any young coach. That's the goal. You know, if it's you get in this business and you want to step into that, I will help you any way I can. But they've been loyal to me. They've worked alongside of me for so many years, and it's a pretty special place, and, you know, a lot of good memories. And y'all taking me back to some, you know, talking about the games and everything. But, you know, that's the thing I'll remember most, and what this place means to me.
So in 5 years, what's next for you? You headed to the beach, or are you going to head to South Carolina coach?
Well, I love Destin now, and I'm getting married in Destin next year.
Right.
With mine. My fiance is going to move up here. She tried to get me to Shelby, but I just wouldn't. I couldn't do it. But so she's going to come up here. I'm love her to death. I'm so glad she's allowed me to stay up here. Mm. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the future. I can say this. I don't want to be a head coach anymore. I'm not saying I would get fully out of coaching, but, you know, maybe, I don't know. I'd like to stay connected to the game.
Yeah.
Now, whether that be an assistant coach or whatever, but just it's hard. It's a hard job, and you pour all your heart and soul into it and your time, you know, and I just want to enjoy – I want to enjoy her and my kids and the family. I just want to enjoy it. So whatever that looks like, you know, because you neglect them. You neglect your family, especially being all these years single dad. Lord, I was separated, divorced. My daughter was only 18 to 20 months old. So, I mean, I've had her in the booth on Thursday nights for JV games and having her out here at practice and my son as well. I mean, I've raised them doing this job, and it's just, you know, I wanna be there for family. That's what matters most. And then, you know, financially, whatever comes around the corner, you know, I'll look at it then. But I just
I like that.
You know, I just enjoy family and whatever that looks like. That's, you know, that's what heaven is to me, means to me.
Well, gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in. Coach Pruitt, thanks for your time. Appreciate it quite a bit. And the coaching interview circuit continues on next, doesn't it, Mike? What do we have coming up?
Next, we have Court Radford from Asheville and also West Henderson coach
Paul Whitaker.
Coach Whitaker.
Yep.
Yep.
Wow. Good to remember. But Coach Pruitt, thank you very much for letting us come over here. And it was awesome to have you on.
Yeah, thanks. Tune in next time, and football season will be here before you know it.